From Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. We made it to primary day 2026. We've been talking about this day for 2 years now, and here we are. And we'll probably have, I'd say, luckily, somewhere in the neighborhood of 17%, 20% turnout, huh? But I know this audience will do much better than that. We are jam-packed today. Everybody, well, with the exception of Will Hampson, everybody's a candidate on today. We're going to give them a few minutes to kind of make their closing arguments. So if you are one of those out there who are the undecided, today is your opportunity, at least for the U.S. Senate race and the Attorney General's race. So be listening in. We're joined by Ken here in just a moment. But real quick, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch. Text me. Let me know. See it out there. And we'll proceed from there. Joining us now, he is our Attorney General, but he's also a candidate for United States Senate. My good friend Steve Marshall is with us. General, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you. You know, the closing arguments, that's definitely for this 30-year prosecutor, seems something I'm accustomed to.
Well, let her rip, I guess. First, tell us, how's the, how does it look here in these late stages for you? What are you hearing out there? But, Kind of walk us through why people, if you're not decided right now, now's your chance to win them over.
Now, and first of all, Jeff, people need to vote. I mean, look, this is a privilege that we have that's unique. It's who we are and our republic, and the fact that we have fought so hard in our country to give people the opportunity to have the ability to be sort of governed through the consent of those who put people in office. This is the way that we do it. And so whether you vote for Steve Marshall or vote for somebody else, I really do want folks to be able to take advantage of that. But Jeff, we've had now, particularly as Attorney General, now 9.5 years to demonstrate that not only we've been tested in office, but we've also delivered on what's mattered to the people of Alabama. And love the fact that I've had the privilege and the luxury of being in a conservative state, to be able to take on the conservative issues, not only in Alabama, but nationally, and then be able to show that we can deliver to families and communities across our state, anything from the $750 million to fight the opioid crisis to the constant battles with the Biden administration. And most recently, particularly in that region, the victory we had at the United States Supreme Court on the redistricting fight, knowing that this was something that was well needed somebody to be able to fight in that world, and we were glad to be able to deliver and want to be able to do that in the United States Senate.
Well, and, here's today, people are voting. It's been a bumpy race, but, reflect on this process. You weren't necessarily eyeballing this race, but everything just kind of came together and set up the opportunity for you to run. And here you are.
Yeah, it really did, because I had made the decision a long time ago. I didn't want to run for governor and sort of began to see politics in the rearview mirror. But when Coach made the decision, come home and shared with me that was what he was going to do, it really opened up the question of, was there still an opportunity to not only give in public service, but to be able to do something in which I was very passionate about. And what I sort of learned in that sort of process was that many of the very same things that I'm fighting so hard on behalf of Alabama's AG are very much the same issues that you fight in the United States Senate. And so, you know, the last year has been, you know, it can be a long year on a campaign trail, but it's remarkably rewarding. And the people that you have a chance to see, the countless people in communities across our state who care desperately about, you know, our state and our country. And what's unique and what's a privilege to be able to run for office is to not only have the chance to be able to share a vision of what you want to be able to do, but maybe most importantly is to listen to people that you're now being charged to represent so that you understand their concerns, their interests, and their issues, and then take that moving forward to identify your priorities and what you want to be able to do and accomplish through public office and make sure that you're answering those who put you there.
Well, General, best of luck today, and we'll catch up again soon.
Perfect. Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
All right. Steve Marshall, ladies and gentlemen, candidate for United States Senate. We'll hear from the other front runners, I guess we should say, because we're not going to get them all in. But Jared Hudson coming up in the 10 o'clock hour and Barry Moore in the 11 o'clock hour. Also on the program, Will Hampson here in about 25 minutes or so. Catherine Robertson and Jay Mitchell lead off the top of the 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock hours, respectively. So there you have it. You'll get the last, like I said, finishing arguments today from the program. 251-343-0106. David, this might be for the last show because he doesn't text in typically here. His prediction for turnout today is going to be 22%. That seems high to me. I don't know why. I just early on, just hearing from people at precincts that it is not a robust response. It is not what they typically see. It is down. Now we're going to hear this, and people were just confused. They didn't know where to vote. They didn't know when to vote. It's those wascally Republicans. Look, I think this, that it's entirely possible you take something off the ballot. People's like, well, I'm not even going to bother. It's all fixed. It's all rigged anyway. I'll have a better idea. I'll go vote sometime today. I still haven't made up my mind. Even though I told you that if you're undecided, you're probably not voting, but I'll go probably look at a ballot, check some boxes, probably leave some, I'll leave a lot of them blank. I find you can't get emotionally invested in politics. But some are better than others. I'll say that. DEI text, I'll give you my predictions. And yeah, feel free to shoot me your predictions or your picks. I'll give you my picks. So DEI texters, one of our four liberal texters, those of you just tuning in, these are his picks. He's got Alabama Will. So he's just totally throwing it out. So Wes Allen, Barry Moore, Pam Casey, Chris Horn, Young Boozer, Derek Chin, Jack Williams, always toting Odin, Chris Beaker. Locally, he's going with Paul Birch, Greg Albright, and Doug Harwell. He can't vote in both of those. Chris Pringle, Paul McKenna. I guess he's just giving us picks here. Mike Vann, Deanne Campbell, Elijah Davidson, Matt Simpson, Jeremiah Giles, Grant Blackburn, Jeb Ball, Kyle Henderson, Billy Joe Underwood, Brett Garber, Anthony Lowry, Jason Warder, and he says losers will be Andrew Jones, Jim Cards, and Mo Brooks. I asked him James Lomax. There's a lot of optimism for Representative Lomax in North Alabama. And we heard that yesterday. Sam Roberts told me that he thinks Lomax is going to win, but Dale Jackson, who lives in that district, says it's going to be a Mo Brooks wipeout. A low turnout probably favors Lomax. But that's a Huntsville discussion. People don't care. That's the problem. That's from Lloyd. Somebody's asking me for an explainer on the amendments. I tell you, though, we could do this at some point during the program. I guess it's... You got Amendment 1. It's the Safe Alabama package. They did two Senate bills. So under the proposed amendment, a person would be banned from possessing a firearm if they were convicted of committing or attempting to commit a felony, violent offense, misdemeanor, domestic violence, or if a person is under protection order. This is, a continuation and extension of Anaya's law. And then the second one, it deals with compensation for district attorneys. So if approved, this amendment would ensure that a district attorney's salary cannot be reduced during the term of office for which they were appointed or elected. This is a Jim Hill amendment. Jim Hill retiring. He's the House Judiciary Committee. So one is public safety, just to sum it up. The other is a district attorney prosecutor compensation. Why we need to do the Alabama Constitution for that, I don't know. Let's see here. Buddy writes, I just voted on Dauphin Island. There were two other voters there. I've never seen it that bad. No turnout. Dink birch tubs, but the polling places are messed up in Mobile. You got to be kidding me. After the municipal elections, we still can't get it right. Please tell me this is just an anomaly, Dink. This is a one-time thing. Unnamed texters, can you tell everyone how to find out where they vote? You just go to the Secretary of State's website. I think you can even put in your name and your address. Mike, if you are a crotchety old lady sniveling weasel like Quinn and are confused about the election, you probably shouldn't vote today. Are we buying this?
Well, what they did is confused a lot of people, and people don't think that they vote today. They think they vote on August 11th because they're not as smart as I am. They didn't,
I don't know, where did he go, like Tulane or something, or LSU?
They're not as smart as I am, and they don't know that how to read and know when the election is.
I'm tired of these elitists. Look, I get it if you're a candidate. Wow, this might take a vote or two away from me because someone would be confused. There may be some confusion. But the people in the media talking about the confusion out there have a low, low opinion of you and your ability to figure things out. If you are the 22%, as David puts it, that care about voting today, that there's a certain percentage of that that are not smart enough to know when and to go vote. Scrollverine, what is the prediction of what Paul Prine will do if he loses? Run for something else? I don't know. Mr. Doug, Massey wins by 75%. I don't know. There's a lot of discussion about that. So, libertarians will tell you that they're libertarian. Everybody who's a libertarian is kind of like having a rescue pet. Or it's like a badge of honor. I'm a libertarian. And you seem to, I don't know if you know who I'm talking about. They'll take this personally out there. But the point I'm trying to make is people who are libertarians and who are very vocal about their libertarianism, they're not showing up in the polls for Thomas Massey. Maybe they don't trust big media. I don't know. 251-343-0106. Toothless Bammer, Yip Yip Yahoo. John Kasich debuts on XM next week. His promo is, we need more dialogue to solve our differences. He sounds a lot like Tom Daschle. Dialogue is the cure, guys. If you believe in abortion and you believe in plural choice over here, and all we need to do is talk about it. That's all we need to solve our differences, because we could come to an agreement. Just like they don't get it. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I keep my eyes wide open all the
to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Well, Hampson coming up in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. I'm here all around the state, just low turnout so far, and I don't expect that to change. What does that mean? Well, we're going to be more concerned with raw vote totals than we will percentages, I guess, at this point. Meaning like a Pam Casey, Steve Marshall type, that people feel pretty good about. It was within the polling margin of error. And Jared Hudson, I think somebody like that too could. I mean, you know, and those are contradictory things. But if you're in the Birmingham market, you're in a major population center, it's just running up your home score. But that's, Coleman, Prattville. Let's see, where else we got? Obviously, you guys at Baldwin, Mobile counties are telling me this. But so far, very, very low turnout, low traffic. Not a lot of lines. So if you want to vote, and you may have gone to the vote in the presidential election to pass, had to wait in line. You won't today. And I'll say this, your vote counts a lot more today than it will in any other election, probably. So you keep that in mind, too, when you're making your decision. Tim, Jeff, you like Robertson or Jay Mitchell, Allah Akbar? I don't know. I feel like either would be fine. My gripes about Mitchell aren't that it was, it's not really who he was as a candidate. He is kind of, like I said, he's a judge, an intellectual, and he listened to his consultants who said, you got to kind of play to the lowest common denominator. Mommy issues. Jeff, considering how uneducated, uninformed Alabama citizens are, a great way to debate, settle the debates, have an IQ test. We have morons here. They are don't vote today is an opportunity. 56% can't read beyond a middle schooler. I still want to know where your education is. Mommy issues. As if you went to the elite institutions of our state or of our country or of our globe. Are you a Rhodes Scholar there, Mommy Issues? People who do that, Mommy Issues, let me just tell you something. That's what, it's very pseudo-intellectual. Like, we get it. You think you're smarter than everybody else. You're just mean about it. John! At 9 a.m., I was number 100 at the Graham Creek voting site in Foley. Unnamed texter, don't give up, Jeff. Many of us work for a living and will not vote till after 5 p.m. Yeah, but that's kind of baked into the cake here. That if you look at it proportionately, that many of you will vote after 5 p.m., granted, and it will pick up throughout the day, but just not as many. There were 10 to 15 people in line at the Hansville Civic Center this morning. I was expected to walk right up. Coleman County Sheriff and local school board was on the ballot, so that may have contributed. Interesting. And you have some local candidates there. Mike, Coach Glover, Hudson, Birch, Pam Casey, and Pringle. Those are Mike's picks. Oh, and Rick Pate. Rick Pate. Not a lot out of him, and he kind of got, I don't know. It just seemed like that started out with such promise there for Lieutenant Governor, and we knew he was going to have a hard time raising a little bit of money, and he was typically really, really good on the stump. Kind of a decent retail politician, but it fizzled out. It still feels like to me at this point, a Wes Allen, John Wall runoff. But guess what? We'll get another month of this here. And tomorrow, qualifying opens up for CD 1, 2, and 6, and 7, which will also be very interesting. Oh, double degree to graduate of UAH. Wow, what a great institution there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Birmingham. Ooh, Montgomery. Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, Election Day. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program. Once again, we'll give it a quick rundown. Catherine Robertson coming up at the top of the hour. Jared Hudson at the bottom of the next hour. Jay Mitchell in the 11 o'clock hour, and we'll wind it all down this Election Day, Primary Day program with Congressman Barry Moore, candidate for the United States Senate. So that's coming up over the next 2 hours. Joining us now on the line, he is our Tuesday regular, and he's very gracious being flexible this morning so we could accommodate these candidates. But Will Hampson is with us. Will, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, doing great. All these candidates and me, I'm honored to be here with you on this important day.
Well, consider yourself very lucky. I could have bumped you for any number of people today, but we opted not to do that.
Well, it's much appreciated, and let's see if I can live up to this.
What's going to happen to Thomas Massie today?
You know, Jeff, this race is super interesting to me. There's so much money being spent, and everything has kind of shown it being pretty close. It really is kind of the toss-up race of the day, I think. I feel like I have a pretty good idea of how most of these races across most of these states are going to end up going. I really don't know. There's been so much money spent. The really interesting thing to me is that you've had some kind of weird, you know, sexual allegations come out against Massie lately. They came out at the last minute. They really haven't been able to be vetted, but you've seen them kind of gain steam from, you know, Laura Loomer types online. So I definitely think it's something that kind of seeped into the bloodstream here in the last couple days. And I'm really interested to see kind of how that 11th hour hit is going to hurt Massie here. But if the race is as close as it's been polling, I do think that could tip the scales here.
Well, tell me the polling here that for some reason Massie, he seems like he's under polling, but is that a situation where maybe these libertarian types of Kentucky just aren't responding to polls? I mean, what, and that's why there's a lot of speculation that he's going down today because of that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a district, Jeff, that's super tough to gauge because of what you just said. I mean, very libertarian-minded, so they're naturally inclined to love the Massie, Rand Paul types. It's also a super rural district, so it's tougher to hit with TV ads. It's tougher to hit some of these folks with digital and kind of traditional advertising. And so when you're looking at all of this money that's been spent, you know, I think upwards of $5 or $6 million has been spent against Massie just from his opponent's campaign alone. But it is a district where it's a little bit tougher to kind of hit voters than it would be in a more traditional, like a Mobile area district where you've got that media market. You obviously can hit the Mobile media market in Mobile. That's different here. So it really is kind of a unique challenge, and it's why someone who is as much of a maverick like a Thomas Massie has been able to be so successful. He's obviously got really good name ID. He's been working in that district for a long time. His opponent has those disadvantages. He has not been in the district as long. He left the Republican Party and then came back. So all of these structural built-in advantages that Thomas Massie has, and frankly, Jeff, he's liked. People like him in that district, and I think you can't forget that, right? I mean, he is someone who has represented that district. Has he represented the president and the country? No, clearly not. But people in his district still like him. They're maverick-minded. They're independent. They've got that libertarian spirit. And so I absolutely agree with you. I do think he underpolls a little bit. And I think if he is able to come out with this win at the end of the day, it will be because of all of the work that he's been able to do over the last decade plus in building those relationships in his district that his opponent just didn't have time to do.
Well, I tell you something else though. So that I feel like Trump's riding a hot streak here after Cassidy and after Indiana. Well, what do we make of that? I mean, do we think that continues, or are those just sort of somehow one-offs?
Well, I think there are a lot of other races, Jeff, today on the ballot that will decide whether that continues, right? I mean, he's endorsed Burt Jones for governor in Georgia. It looks like Rick Jackson is polling ahead of him. If Rick Jackson ends up ahead of him, you know, obviously the media narrative will be different. Seen, you know, recent polling, which I don't necessarily believe, but that Jared Hudson is ahead of Trump endorsed Barry Moore here in Alabama. I think that could be a narrative if you've got some of these Trump endorsed candidates who are underperforming, and even especially if they come in second place in their respective races today, I think could potentially slow down the president's hot streak here. But I think he's acutely aware of where he is in all of these races. He obviously made a really concerted effort. He did a lot of tele-rallies yesterday for a bunch of these candidates across the states in the races he's endorsed. And I would suspect from some of the things that I've heard that he is prepared to be heavily involved in some of these runoffs were it to get to that point. So I think he absolutely is prepared to do what he has to do to continue his recent winning ways.
We kind of said something interesting there. Let's talk about Alabama. I know you follow it, but what do you think is going to happen today here?
I think the question really is to me, what are Barry Moore's margins? I mean, I think that there's no doubt that, and not just in the Senate race, Jeff, I think that the Trump endorsed candidates across the state of Alabama have underperformed. I think they are not where a lot of people.
Well, there's only two, right? It's Tuberville has got nothing to worry about, but it's John Wall, yep, and Barry Moore.
And I think that there are people that think that they're both underperforming, that they haven't run, you know, as good of races as they maybe could have. But we're going to see today, right? I mean, who knows? And Jeff, I go back to obviously was heavily involved in Clay Fuller's race in Georgia 14. It was a special election. The president came in and endorsed Clay, and polling was really, really slow to reflect just how powerful that Trump endorsement was. And so I think, obviously, that was a sprint. It was a special election. You only had, you know, 2 or 3 months. So obviously different dynamics. These candidates have had the Trump endorsement for a long time now. But I do think that Trump endorsement certainly lags a little bit in polling. And so it will be interesting to see, does it pop up? And I still think, frankly, it is the silver bullet. If you're an undecided voter and you're going to the polls, you're going to vote, you're still a little bit unsure, there is no piece of information that will move undecided voters today more than that Trump endorsement. And so I do think that you're going to see them perform a little bit better than polls show. I also think that Barry Moore and John Wall, for whatever reason, are polling a little bit lower than I think they're really at. I think there are obviously some dynamics in play there, but I think that they both will win a plurality today, but not a. They will not avoid a runoff, but they will come in first place.
So you think Wall beats Wes Allen?
I do. I think that the Trump endorsement is going to be enough for him. But I do think, Jeff, that the Trump endorsement can only do so much. And I think that these guys, especially if they get into runoffs, I think some of them are going to have to reevaluate some of their strategies, frankly. I think they're going to have to work a little bit harder. And I think that they're going to have to come up with a little bit of a better message, because it is incredibly powerful, but it's not the end all be all.
You mentioned Burt Jones and Rick Jackson. Well, what's going to happen on the other race there? Who's going to? I guess it's Collins, and who's going to face Ossoff in the fall?
Yeah, I mean, what you've seen in that race is a lot of going after the third candidate, Buddy Carter, in the Senate race. The whispers in Washington were that the president was pretty prepared to endorse Mike Collins, and Buddy Carter effectively went to the president's team and said, if you guys endorse, I'm quitting Congress. And so he was able to kind of get the president to stay out. Obviously, the president is very, very aware that every vote in the House matters. And so a lot of these House members have a lot of leverage with the president right now. But I think you'll see if Buddy Carter is to not make the runoff, which I fully expect. I think it's going to be Derek Dooley, who's endorsed by the governor. The governor's been incredibly active on his behalf. And then you have Mike Collins. I think you see a runoff between the two of them. Obviously, the president and the governor there in Georgia, Brian Kemp. There's no love lost. They have had some disagreements over the years, and especially about this Senate race. And so I think there's been a pretty concerted effort by the Collins team to hammer Buddy Carter, make sure it's a runoff with Dooley. And I think they would feel pretty confident about getting that Trump endorsement in a runoff. So that's, I think, where we're at. And I would be shocked if it was anything other than a Dooley Collins runoff.
I'm anticipating very low turnout here in Alabama. What does it look like in these other states? I guess there's a handful of states. We mentioned Kentucky and Georgia, obviously Alabama, Pennsylvania, Idaho, and Oregon also vote today. Republicans this is kind of a telltale sign of November, I'm afraid. These Republican primaries that are very interesting to you and I are probably going to have pretty abysmal turnout around the country.
Yeah, and I think the scary thing, Jeff, if you're looking at early voting numbers, Georgia has a pretty lengthy early voting period, and obviously they can tell you who picked a Democrat ballot versus who picked a Republican ballot. Republicans have been outvoted pretty heavily. And so when you're looking at some of these important races, Georgia has their judicial races are nonpartisan, and so they are decided on primary day. You've got Republican incumbent judges who are probably going to lose because of that fact that more Democrats are going to vote than Republicans. And so I think obviously that's a problem. And we know it's a problem, Jeff. There are a lot of Republicans that just won't go vote if Donald Trump is not on the ballot. And so I think that's going to be another narrative that you're going to see coming out of tonight is that Republicans are getting outvoted in a lot of these states. Particularly Georgia, which is obviously a pretty big swing state here. So for whatever reason, Republicans, they just don't like to vote at the clips that Democrats do. I think Democrats are fired up. Obviously, they feel like the country's going in the wrong direction with what President Trump is doing. They're going to go vote. They're excited. They're ready to get out there. And it does worry me a little bit, Jeff, and especially in some of these swing states like Georgia, that Republicans just don't seem to be matching that energy right now.
Yeah, well, the Supreme Court case was a tactical victory for Republicans on the redistricting, on the Voting Rights Act. I'm telling you that the unintended consequence is going to be, it's sort of like Dobbs 4 years ago. It's really going to motivate Democrats to get out and vote, it seems like.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing I keep hearing, Jeff, I mean, obviously it was a very good victory for Republicans. You add some of these seats that you don't have to spend any money on, right? I mean, they're effectively blue to red flips that you had to spend $0 on. And the thing I keep hearing from the White House, from Republicans across the country, is just that we have a big money advantage. And that's great, right? But you can only bombard TV, bombard digital. I mean, you can only put so many mailers in people's mailboxes before it really doesn't matter anymore. At the end of the day, you have to have the ability to get your voters to turn out. And so I think that that's the thing to look at here is we're kind of looking at what November looks like. Absolutely. I mean, the NRCC is absolutely outraising Democrats' congressional arm. Same with the Senate committee. Same with the RNC versus the DNC. The White House has a ton of money. The question is not that. It's what do we do with that and how are we able to go and get our voters to turn out? And again, I think if you're looking at it, Republicans should be a little bit worried. I mean, we are going to have to make a concerted effort across the country to get our voters to go turn out in November. Otherwise, things could get ugly. But, you know, I think that we're ready to go. We're ready to fight. It's just a question of all of those resources. Do we kind of put them in the pockets of consultants and do they have a pretty good payday? Meanwhile, voters don't really get jazzed up, or are we able to kind of figure out a plan to go get these people to vote? That's going to be the big question.
Well, and we'll wind it up on this because I think the playbook is stale, antiquated, that you just don't, whatever's, because we have low turnout and We had this sort of it's like a 10-year-old, maybe too late playbook, because the undecideds are so high late in the stages of this election cycle, and there's still undecideds out today, that whatever these consultants are doing, whatever strategies, methods they're putting in place, it's not working like it used to, that no one's figured out the secret sauce like the way we used to do things. And I think the entire strategy has got to be redone here.
Jeff, these are conversations that happen constantly among people in Washington, right? I mean, you have kind of the consultant class that's been doing the same things for a while. They've been operating in the same ways, and they're incentivized to operate in the same ways, right? But we know that the average voter is not sitting there watching TV on cable like they were 10 years ago. However, the way for a consultant to make the most money is to get a cut of a TV buy that goes out on cable. I mean, we know what works. We know what isn't working as well. The question is just, do the people in charge want to make money, or do they want to win? And that's
they
really
want to make money, but
it comes down to,
yeah, and they want to make money, but they're gonna take some L's, and they're not gonna have any clients anymore.
Well, that's the question, Jeff. Right? I mean, if they have 500 clients across the country and they win 10 high profile races, a lot of consultants would say they're good with that. You know, if I have all these clients everywhere, and I can win a Tommy Tuberville, or I can win a Senate race, I'm cool with that. As long as I can get a high-profile race, I can go to the next batch of clients and say, I won this, and that's it. That's what matters to them. So it's a strategy, again. And Democrats, at the end of the day, they just want to win. They want to beat the brains out of Republicans. That's the kind of the agreement among
right.
their consultants.
And that Trump derangement syndrome stuff is very powerful. In the election.
Absolutely.
Hey, Will, we got to get out of here, but we appreciate it. Thanks for hopping on and being flexible this morning.
Pleasure as always, Jeff. We'll talk to you soon and hopefully have some results.
All right. Will Hampson, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this primary election day, 251-343-0106. Let me ask this question. The text line I want to hear from you, I'm just not going to vote today. It's not important to you. Just not interesting. You're just not into it. Small potatoes. You'll vote Republican in November. How many of you are out there that listen to this program? I gotta think there's a few of you, but, let me know on the text line. Leo, says, there's a line of 10 to 15 people at the Independent Living Center, West Mobile to vote. I'm going to come back later. And, that was a deterrent, 10 to 15 people. Squirrel Marine, pseudo intellectuals of mommy issues love to think they are so unique and exceptional while showing their group think adherence to whatever liberal passions are demanded of them to follow and promote. Many of them get tetanus. I don't think I would be like thumping my chest over a, let's see, what did he say? He had a UAH degree and a criminal justice degree from Virginia Tech. And then he was honorably discharged from the military. But double degree from UAH and Virginia Tech, I mean, I don't know that I would be deriding a lot of people with a commuter college degree. And what I assume, I don't know, did you actually go to Virginia Tech, or was this one of these online Virginia Tech efforts? Criminal justice. Were you a resident of Blacksburg, Virginia? 251-343-0106. Hit me up on that text line. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Somehow on and on I go. I keep on rolling with the flow. Folks said that I...